hopeless without help if I could not lean on the Lord. Amen. And call him every day. I need him every moment of every day. It's good to know that he's always there. Amen. Good to know that he never leaves us nor forsakes us. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, go with us to the 46th Psalm. Psalms 46, a very comforting psalm. A very promising psalm. If you don't mind, I'd like to read the entire 11 verses tonight. You'll bear with me. Psalms 46, beginning with verse number 1. When you get there, say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
God is. Everybody say that.
God is.
Say it again.
God is.
God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is, say that with me again.
God is.
In the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in all in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Can we bow our heads? Precious Heavenly Father, how we love you, Lord, and how we thank you for your goodness, for your mercy. God, for your overwhelming love. We thank you for your spirit that we feel in this sanctuary tonight. Father, we pray, God, that you would minister to us tonight. God, just let your anointed power fall down upon each and every one of us. Help us to be submissive and obedient to your will and to your word. And Father, we do remember those who are suffering, those who are sick and afflicted. Father, we pray a very special prayer of healing on their account. Move right now, God, and touch those in the hospitals, the nursing homes, those that are sick tonight and shut in. Father, I pray right now, God, that you would anoint these lips of clay. God, just to speak to our hearts, speak to our spirit tonight. God, lift us up, encourage us, God, in your word. And we'll be so careful, Lord, to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. And Father, we ask it in the precious and holy sweet name of Jesus. Amen and amen. God bless you. You may be seated tonight. If you love Jesus, give him a hand clap of praise. Amen. While tonight, I want to bring a message entitled "God Is." As I was reading that, this by the way, is one of my favorite verses, probably one of my favorite chapters in the entire Bible. I have so many. I just can't just say that one or two are my favorites because I rely so heavily on the Word of God each and every day of my life, and I've always found it to be inspiring. I've always found it to be uplifting. I've always found it to be hopeful. And I've always found it to be just exactly what I needed at that particular time. Aren't you glad, amen, that the Lord knows what you need? That's because he is. Amen. That's because that he is a very present help. Here, the psalmist talks about four different things that God is. First of all, he is our refuge. Now, most definitions would point to the fact that refuge is a place of a shelter in time of pursuit, a place that you can get some relief, a place that you can come out of the storm or come out of harm's way. It can be a place of comfort. It can be a place of a shelter. It can be a place of safety. God is all of those things. How many knows that there's times we need a shelter? There's times that we need a refuge. I don't know if you've had a battle with the devil, and many times it gets to the point where we seemingly think that, Lord, we just can't take another step. I just can't handle this anymore. It's about all that I can stand. stand, and I really can't stand anymore. And we need that refuge. We need that place of comfort. We need that shelter. And the psalmist here says that God is, not God will be or not God was, but God is our refuge. And He is a shelter each and every time that we need Him. I remember years and years ago, there was the situation where Kevin was born. And I know I've shared this many, many times, but this really relates, because this is a time when we need a refuge. You know, every refuge is not a material structure. You know, before I get into that, let me tell you that I was on the bread route one day, and I was in Dallas, Georgia, and I had to go back to the warehouse in Carrollton, and it was getting dark. It was about 2 or 2:30 in the afternoon. I'd made my last stop, and I was getting ready, and had my eye on the sky, because they had been talking about thunderstorms and bad weather and possible tornadoes. And you know, when they talk about that, naturally you begin to look at the skies, and the skies were darkening just about seemingly every few minutes, and it was getting darker and darker. So I was so relieved and so happy to know that I'd made my last stop. So I head down 61, and I get to Villarica, and I mean, it's like, just like night. And even though it's about 3 o'clock in the evening, it's just like, it's almost like it's at 9 o'clock at night. I mean, really, really getting dark. And I go across the railroad tracks and get down to, Carroll Road, and I'm just getting on 61, headed down toward Bay Springs. If you locals know where that was, and I mean, the bottom fell out. It was pouring rain, and in those old boxy bread trucks, the wind was blowing, and it was all I could do to hold that thing in the road. And all of a sudden, limbs began to hit the side of the truck, and I could not see in front of me. And I remembered that there was a fire station. I remembered that there was a place there. And I when I could get to where I thought that fire station was, and I could look out and I could see it, I pulled that truck over, and I got out of that truck, and I ran there. I remember there were several firefighters that were standing there inside the shelter, looking out and kind of ducking and seeing the limbs flying. But I remember how relieved I was to get out of that truck, because I actually thought it was going to flip over, and I made it to the shelter. And I thought, but it was all over in just a matter of moments. You know, if you've ever been in and around, and later on we did find out that a tornado did touch down there between Sand Hill and Carrollton, right in the very area that I was. But I was so thankful to be in that shelter. That was a natural or a material shelter. Amen. That I believe God provided me the opportunity for my safety, because I was praying. I'm not ashamed to tell you, when that wind was hitting against that truck, I was praying, God, keep me safe. Don't let this truck turn over. Give me a place to go into the shelter. And God, I believe, even though that shelter was already there, He provided me opportunity to get there. That was the material shelter. And there's been other times when you run from a storm and get into the shelter. Now, on this particular night, this was the night, the day and the night that Kevin was born, and Kevin had difficulties, and they sent an ambulance that was completely equipped with just about everything that you would find in an emergency room. They called them Angel 1 and Angel 2. They were a part of Grady Hospital, and they were equipped to handle situations like that. And when the equipment in Villarica and all, they decided that he needed to be transported to Eggleston, they sent the Angel 1, I believe it was, down to pick Kevin up. And of course, Penny was still in the hospital room, and Penny's brother and sister-in-law drove me over. We tried to follow the ambulance and could not keep up with it, but we made our way to Eggleston Hospital, and we got there after they had already rolled Kevin down into the ward and whatever they was doing. And I could not go back there, and Daryl and Wanda sat there a little bit, but then they had to go. This was getting close to the midnight hour, and I remember very vividly the little waiting room that was there. A lot has changed. Kevin will soon be 40 years old, so a lot has changed during the last 39 years at Eggleston Hospital. But in this little bitty place where there was a Coke machine and a few little chairs there, that's where I was sitting, and I could hear
the crying down the hall. And I didn't know. I didn't know if that was Kevin or I didn't know if it was one of the other little babies or something. But I remember that I needed a shelter. I needed a refuge. And I didn't need a physical or a natural refuge. I needed a spiritual comfort. I needed the mighty hand of God to come and shelter me. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been to a place, amen, where you just needed God to just wrap his arms around you? You know, people can be so kind and people can be so comforting, but there's a time you need God. There's a time when nobody can really help you except the Spirit of God. And I thank God that that refuge was there. And I felt his holy presence. And even though I was anxious and even though I was fearful and you know, unsure of what was going on. And finally, you know, like an hour or two later, some doctors came out and began to tell me some of the things, and they was working. But it seemed like those were the loneliest 2 hours of my life. My wife was in Villarica, and my baby was down the hall, and here I was, and I needed a refuge. And I don't know what I would have done had I not been introduced to the Lord. I don't know what I'd done, Brother Jim, had I not had a relationship with the Lord, because I felt the comfort. I felt his arm seemingly just wrap them around me and just tell me, you know, that I'm here with you. And it's so wonderful, because there wasn't anybody else in that hall. There wasn't anybody else during that time that was in that little waiting area, but I felt the presence of God. How many is thankful for a refuge? Amen. That night I found out that God is. Amen. And there's been many, many other times in my life that I found out assuredly that God is a refuge. Amen. But he didn't stop there. He went on to say that not only is God a refuge, but God is our strength. Amen. Have you ever found yourself just completely void of strength? Just completely void of the initiative to go on any further? Have you found yourself just saying, Lord, I just don't think that I can go another day. I just don't think that I can put up with this. So many times, so many situations arise in our life when it seems like we get to the end of our line. Have you, can identify with that? Can you testify about that tonight? You've gone just about as far as you can go. It may be because of situations. It may be because of affliction. It may be because of problems. It may be because of busted relationships. It could be a number of things. Amen. There's a number of things in this world that can get you to the point of where you want to throw your hands up and quit, and you're just about gone with your strength. Now, physically, we've all been to that point. And you know, I've told you about the day that I ate rutabagas, and I'd never ate rutabagas in my life before. But that was because I was so void of strength. I had been chopping and cutting and splitting wood pretty much all day long, and I walked in the house and there wasn't a thing. This is before I ever got married. I still living at home, and Mom and them had a pot of rutabagas on there, and there was about a half a pound of cornbread left, and that was all that was there. And let me tell you something, folks, when you have worked and you have sweated and you're hungry, you're not near as picky as you are under normal circumstances. I mean, I put those rutabagas away. I found me a salt, I mean, a pepper shaker, and I peppered them things down there. You just about couldn't even see the color of the rutabagas, but I put the pepper on them and I mixed that cornbread up there. You know what? I still like rutabagas to this day, because I was so hungry and so tired, but I found out that God gives us strength. That was the material time that I was void of strength. But can I tell you, there's been some spiritual moments in my life as well. Can I tell you, there's been some times when I've been tired of fighting. I've been tired of struggling, Sister Linda. I've been tired of getting beat up. You ever been there? I've been tired of just tired of being tired. And you know, you pick yourself up and you say, Lord, I know I can't quit. I've got to persevere. I've got to keep going. And Lord, I just need you to give me some strength. Amen. I just need you to touch me. Amen. Let me tell you something. There is not a bottle found anywhere on the medicine aisle that'll give you a boost like one touch from the Lord will. There is nothing found in a needle that'll give you the boost or the energy that just one touch from the Lord. But you know what? I found myself. I said, Lord, if I can just make it, amen, to church. There's something about church. I know God is God everywhere. I know he's God in the amen corner. He's God on the pulpit. He's God out there when I'm driving around. He's God at my home. But there's just something about the church house. I found myself saying, I just don't think I can make it. But when I put forth the effort when I got to the church house, you know what? I began to glean from the faith and the power of the other saints of God that was there. And I found that right there in the altar that God is. Amen. Not God was, not God will be, but God is a very present help, and he's a very present strength that I needed. Amen. I went away feeling so good, so energized, because I found, amen, the thing that I need through any problem is a touch from the Lord. Aren't you glad that not only is he our refuge, but he is our strength? When we get to the weakest point in our life, whether it be physical or spiritual, we can rely on the strength of God, because he is. God is. That's in the now. Amen. There's a place that says, you know, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now faith. Amen. Faith in the now. Jesus is a Savior that is in the present. Amen. He's now for whatever situation may arise. And the psalmist didn't stop there. He went on to say that God is a very present help. Let me kind of jog our memory a little bit tonight. You know, help is something that we encourage one another to do. We offer our help so many times. But how many knows, and it's not intentional, and it's not because that we're being hard to get along with. There's some times that we're not available to help when we had offered our help. You know, many, many times we say, yeah, just call on me. But when they call on me, I'm not available. Or I'm not there at the present time to help them. You know, how many loves to move? Move furniture. Nobody likes to move furniture. How many's ever offered to help somebody move furniture? You don't offer too much. Amen. But that's one thing that we always rely on. If I can get me some help. But it always seems like when you're wanting to move something, there's nobody around. Just the other night, my wonderful son-in-law is having his basement redone, and there's a pool table down there. And he had said something about, let's move that pool table. Can we put it in your building? I said, sure, yeah, let's do it, you know. And I thought he was going to get about four people to do it. But I walked down there, and bless his heart, he said, no, let's don't mess with it. And I said, why not? Let's do it. Let's do it. And I picked up, or tried to pick up one end of that, and I said, wait a minute. That is a heavy piece of furniture. That's without the legs, and it was leaned up against that. So we begin to think, and we begin to try to figure out things, and you know, it's, you know, I finally said, you know, let's do the trailer. Let's put the trailer. Let's measure it and see. And it just so happened that the width of the would fit just inside my trailer. I said, I'll go get my trailer, and I'll get my four-wheeler, and we'll bring the trailer down here and back it up. How many knows that the older you get, the more ways you try to avoid lifting heavy things? If there's another option, I'm all for it. Amen. You know, there's been days I'd have said, let's just do it. You know, let's just reach over, let's just pick that thing up. But you get a certain age, and that don't make a whole lot of sense, you know, because the back's not what it used to be. So I bring that thing down, we back it right in there, and, you know, we back it a little further, it fits right in his door, and I said, well, let's just push it back a little further. We got a little bit further, and we got that thing exactly lined up to where the pool table was. How many is thankful for leverage? Oh, that's one of the sweetest things that there is, amen. Leverage is so great, amen. You know, it may weigh a whole lot, but you know, when you got that thing teetering on a stable or a structure there, you know, you can kind of push that thing over, and me and Brother Tony was able to just kind of lay that thing over, and it went right over on the rail of that. It worked out so good, Brother Jim. We couldn't have planned it no better. I mean, it's just like God came down and helped us with that pool table, and just went right on there. And I was so thankful that I didn't have to lift that thing. So we got it on the trailer, and we headed out and got it up out through the fence, and headed up to the house and got up there, and we backed it up to the building, and then we're thinking, well, now we're going to have to lift that thing out. So I told Brother Tony, I said, wait a minute. And I started moving the lawnmowers and the bicycles and the golf cart and everything out of the building. And we backed that trailer up and we was able to turn it. Thank God for the building. Amen. It just happened to be wide enough. We was able to turn that thing around and we was able to get it back on the rail and able to use leverage. Thank God for leverage. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord for leverage. Amen. Leverage will help you move a lot of things. Glory to God. You know why I'm saying so much about leverage? I'll tell you in just a little bit. But we put it on that rail and we was able to just lift that thing up and it went perfectly against that wall and I was so proud of myself. I mean, I strutted around there like a peacock and I said, man, there wasn't nothing to that, was there? Thank God for leverage. Amen. A very present help. Think about the leverage. Think about how many times you tried to move it by yourself. Think about how many times you tried to get rid of that burden by yourself. But let me tell you about the leverage of the power of God. When the hand of God comes down and provides that leverage for us, it's not nearly as hard as we thought it was going to be. All of a sudden, you're going to find that burden has done been moved. Amen. That trouble has done been pushed out of your way. Amen. That obstacle, amen, has been done away with. Thank God for the power of His hand. Thank God that He gives us leverage over each and every one of those things because He is a very present help in time of trouble. Aren't you thankful that you've got somebody to lean on, somebody to trust in, somebody to help you in time of trouble? And then what I like so much, I think it's listed about 3 or 4 times in different ways. One, he says, God is with us. The other one says, the Lord of hosts is with us. One says, the God of Jacob is our refuge. The other says, the Lord of hosts is with us. Says, the God of Jacob is our refuge. God is with us. God is. Not God was. Not God will be. But God is. Do you remember the response out of the fiery bush that was on fire when Moses said, whom shall I say has sent me? God said, tell them I am. I am. He's a very present God. Aren't you glad, Sister Brenda, that He's a God at hand? Amen. Aren't you glad that His arm is not so short that He can't reach down? Amen. And lift us up and help us in every situation. So not only is He our refuge, not only is He our strength, not only is He our very present help, but He also is with us through every trial, through every problem, through every situation that we face. We're never alone. We can always rely on that help. Amen. I mentioned just a few minutes ago that sometimes we offer our help but we're not available. God is always available. He's always there. Amen. We may not realize it, but He's always there. He's always helping us. He's always making the path cleaner for us and smoothing out the rough places. And we're so thankful that God is. And then in verse 10 is one of the most precious promises and precious things for us to rely on. The psalmist says, be still. Be still. I was intrigued by that phrase, be still. I've heard that most all of my child life. Mother used to tell me constantly, be still. Be still. She said I was so rambunctious. I was kind of like, I don't know, it's a, kind of like Trey is sometimes, just couldn't be still. I was just here, there, and everywhere. Just every time we'd go somewhere, they'd have to keep up with it because I was just running around. I remember, well, I don't remember. I just remember them telling us about it. My grandmother and granddaddy, and that was mother's mother and daddy, Preacher Bailey and Sister Bailey, and mom and dad took Dennis and myself to St. Augustine, Florida. They got some pictures there, and we were just little toddlers. Probably, I don't think either one of us was even in school. Dennis was just a little bitty thing, believe it or not, the ladies wanted to do some shopping. Isn't that amazing? That you go on vacation and they want to go shopping, but that's what they were doing. They went into some of the shops there. So my granddaddy and daddy had sat on a little fountain there. It was a fountain out there, they told us, and it had like a little rock wall around it. And they had set Dennis up on the wall, and Eddie was going around and around and around the wall. They said, just running and jumping, you know. And they were so afraid that I was going to fall in. And they was both watching me. And all of a sudden, they heard a splash. Dennis went in. But But they was watching me because I couldn't stand still, but they was watching him, you know. And even though he was being still, evidently something intrigued him, and he bent over and went into the little fountain. So my granddaddy, and you got to know my granddaddy was always dressed to a T. I remember we went camping one time. This was another story. Went camping up to Vogel State Park, and Brother Bailey wore a tie. Yeah, he wore a tie, which is all right. I just never went camping with anybody that was fully dressed and had a tie, but he had a tie. But my granddaddy was dressed to the hilt. I looked at the pictures, and he had this little white cap and a very sporty shirt and white pants. But he went in that fountain after Dennis, and he ruined those clothes. I remember them talking about that. But my point is being still. And this definition that I read intrigued me, because in the Hebrew, the word be still means to be weak, to be idle, and to be at a point that, in other words, that you can't do anything else for yourself. Be dependent on God. Be still and know that I am God. Many times we think that means you just sit still and just know. And that's all right, too, to contemplate and to meditate on the presence of God. If you've never done that, there's such a blessing in it. But there's time in your busyness. There's time in your hectic schedule. There's time when you're pushing this thing around and this burden's following you. And you just need to be submissive. And you need to be dependent. And you need to be idle and wait on the hand of God to make a way for you. Many, many times we pray that God will make a way, and what do? We go try to make the way ourselves and want God to anoint it. We jump ahead of God. But this quote tells us to be still. To be still and know that I am God. Rely on His strength. Rely on His ability to be our refuge. Rely on His promise that He will be a very present help even in time of trouble. Rely on His promise that said, I will be with you. God is with us. God is with us through the promise. Even though this was the psalmist, amen, little did he realize, I don't know, maybe he did, that God would be with us through Jesus Christ and through the Holy Spirit and through the Comforter that is with us today. That Comforter is our strength. That Comforter is our refuge. That Comforter is a very present help in time of trouble. Aren't you glad that even in the doctor's office, God is with you? Aren't you glad even when you face the most adverse situations in your life, God is with you? Aren't you glad when you open up that letter and it's the worst news in the world, God is still with you? Amen. He won't leave us and He won't forsake us. If you love the Lord with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your body, give Him a hand clap of praise tonight. I love you. I love you. God loves you. We're so thankful that you come out on a Sunday night to worship with us tonight. May God be with you through this week. Hope you have a wonderful week and a great, great time in the Lord. If you would stand, close your eyes, bow your head. This altar is open if you have a need tonight.